I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm Stumpy.
Stumpy?
Mm-hmm. It's a fact.
Okay. He's low to the ground.
I sure am.
Compact.
Compact.
Yes.
That's the way to...
Napoleon syndrome for days.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Welcome back, y'all. We are back with part two of our Waverly Hills breakdown. We're going to talk about the hauntings today.
Waverly Hills breakdown.
You should have been a disc jockey.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
I should have.
That was really your calling. You missed it.
Yeah, I did.
But
yeah. They're like all short, aren't they? Like, aren't all DJs like 5'6" like me?
Not Howard Stern.
No, he's like 6'6" or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a shock jock, maybe not.
Oh, yeah.
But
shock
like
jock,
a regular
it's
one.
It's shocking. Look how tall he is. Yeah. That's true, because I think,
Mm-hmm.
That's worth researching. All right.
It is.
Gang, get out there and find the heights.
We need a
of shock jocks versus
regular
DJs. Yeah.
Yeah. We need a spreadsheet comparing what is the median height
of a DJ.
Yes.
Of a DJ. I'll probably be considered a tall DJ because I think they're all like stupid short.
Well, so are you.
I don't know. That's interesting.
5'6" isn't stupid short.
It's pretty small.
It's pretty small.
Small.
Regardless, though.
Okay.
But yeah, so we are going to be talking about the hauntings today, because when you are hearing this, we are going to be in Waverly Hills in 5 days.
T-minus 5 days. Unless you're listening on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or after we've gone.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So if you're listening right when this drops, 5 days.
5 days.
Which is this Saturday, the, I think, 20th?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Saturday the 20th, my sister's
Saturday
birthday.
Saturday the 20th.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, it's...
Happy birthday, Jen He.
Yes, happy birthday, Jen He.
Yes, happy birthday.
But, yeah, we are going to be in Waverly Hills with the Ghost Brothers. We're going to be stalking all around the property. Massive property.
Why, yeah.
And to preface this video, we're going to kind of go floor by floor of kind of the more common consensus of hauntings. But I have read just throughout the weeks that I have been researching this particular place's hauntings, There are lots of small little tidbit sort of encounters. You never know what we're going to encounter while we're there, and sometimes people have experiences and they don't document it. You'll hear a couple of experiences on this breakdown that I actually found in a couple Reddit threads, which were very interesting. If you're ever wanting to read a very casual, creepy ghost story, go on Reddit.
Reddit actually does have some of the greatest personal ghost stories.
It's amazing.
So, which we should consider making a segment on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Reddit on Reddit.
Exactly.
Reddit on
Ooh,
Reddit.
I like that.
Ooh, yeah. Reddit
well,
on Reddit.
Because people, I think, truly feel comfortable telling their paranormal experience because Reddit is so anonymous.
Yep.
Right. The anonymity really, really does help people... say the things that they feel they edit because they fear being labeled crazy.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, and there were whole Reddit threads on just Waverly Hills. So we'll talk about those.
Yes.
But yeah, like I said, this is kind of a general consensus of all of the number of hundreds of ghost stories that are inside of this building. So if... you've heard one that is not included in this list, comment down below and let us know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll start out with the lobby / the first floor.
Ooh, the first floor.
It's actually really creepy. Okay.
Into the building and boom, ghost.
Actually, yes.
There you go.
Actually, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the Walmart greeter of ghosts.
Kind of is.
Hi, welcome to Waverly Hills. Ghosts on the left, ghosts on the right. There's a demon in the basement. Have a good day.
And there actually might be. You never know.
But, anyway.
But anyways, so the first floor of the building is where the morgue and the x-ray room would have been.
Okay.
So you can take that as you will.
That puts you right in the middle of some devious things.
Exactly.
And before we even go any further than that, x-ray technology of the early 20th century was devastatingly dangerous. Many x-ray techs died from radiation exposure, and the ways that they died, horrifying, like their hands melted off.
Oh, yeah.
They developed all kinds of things. The level at which they exposed the patients to x-rays oftentimes led to all kinds of complications and death. So the x-ray device in its early days, without understanding how harmful it was, probably contributed to many deaths at Waverly Hills.
Yes. And it might be the reason why one particular ghost is kind of the main ghost.
Here we go.
And the main entrance, literally the first thing that you might encounter when you enter this building, is an elderly woman who is often seen crying, bleeding from her wrists and ankles that are chained, and she is often screaming, "Help me."
Yeesh.
And she is usually the first encounter people have inside of the building. And so...
Are we still missing... Are we missing our "Oh, hell no" button?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
What do you mean the first thing that we might encounter is bleeding, screaming ghost, "Help me"?
Well, okay, so...
I haven't even put my bags down.
Well, and there's a reason for this. So... This has not been confirmed by Waverly Hills, and I'll repeat this multiple times. But I did find on a Reddit thread somewhere of somebody who used to volunteer there.
Sure.
And they would give tours. And they said that there was a portion down on that first floor where people would be chained to the walls for the bloodletting.
And sure.
So I think that woman was given that treatment because she's bleeding from her wrists. Typically, bloodletting would be a cut to the wrist.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So
I was thinking that it was from the restraints,
right?
That she might have been pulling on the restraints so much. Yeah. Although, yeah, bloodletting, terrifying as it is, they would oftentimes strap the people down because our natural inclination is to fight when you're getting cut. So, and these were deep cuts. They were not superficial. They were trying to get the blood, the bad blood out of the body.
Yep.
So, and sure enough, a lot of blood loss can lead to death.
That we've now figured out.
That it was like, it's funny, the color hasn't returned to their, no, she's dead.
Oh, she's gone. But yeah, so she often is seen screaming, "Help me." So
they made a lot of mistakes in this place.
Well,
'tis the time.
Medical science is a long journey of tormenting people.
Yeah.
Until
you really think about it.
Until you stumble upon what works. And yeah, they thought they were cutting edge. Not a pun. But they thought that they were right on the very precipice of discovery. While they were bloodletting, while they were using things like heavy compression on the body to squeeze the humors out, there's all kinds of weirdness that came with it.
Mm-hmm. There was also an incident that we'll be able to ask Tina about if she's willing to talk about this. But the lobby is also where they found what is called the Satanic Church.
Oh,
my
sure.
God.
This is just the first floor. So... supposedly, Tina and Charlie, and I'm getting this information from the book that I read, which is called The Hauntings and History of Waverly Hills.
The Hauntings and History of Waverly Hills.
It's a lot of, it's a lot more about their investigation, but there is some history to it.
It has a ring of something that you'd hear on NPR.
Yeah. Very much so. That's what I thought I was getting, and then it was not, but that is okay.
So tell me more about the ghosts that you encounter when you're there. Are they happy ghosts?
Wow, that's a good NPR impression.
It is.
I practice my NPR voice. I don't know why.
Okay.
Just in case.
Just in case. You never know. Yeah. When somebody might be like, "Oh, no, we need an NPR host." I'm right here.
So supposedly, Tina and Charlie, her husband, found a body in the elevator shaft. It was a homeless man with his eyes gouged out, and his dog's eyes were also gouged out.
What? So this is interesting because I had heard this same story from Sunnyland.
Yes.
The Sunnyland mental health establishments that were all through Florida. The mm-hmm. one.
Tallahassee.
Right, Tallahassee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could have sworn that there was that the story of the elevator shaft body and the eyes missing. Now I'm wondering if it wasn't Waverly Hills.
You said, and
I just kind of smooshed it together because of sanitarium.
You said Tina?
Yeah.
Found? Oh, well then we're talking. Yes. Yeah, we're going to be talking to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But supposedly that was a thing, and people have encountered specifically the dog.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so people have encountered an eyeless dog.
That sort of smacks of like homeless, because there was a period when it was squatters.
Yes.
All kind of like descended on the building during that very strange power move of, well, we'll just let it rot. Squatters lived there, mm-hmm. right? So that makes sense that a man and his dog could have tried to set up home and could have just fallen down the elevator shaft.
But their eyes got gouged?
That part is weird. However, it is a well-known thing that birds will eat your eyes. So, because your eyes...
They're juicy. Mm-hmm. They're peckable.
Right. Well, and they're just under the surface. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is exactly what a bird is looking for, is that soft, gooey thing that is in a hole or in a socket.
Well, there's also... a certain entity that we'll talk about later that may do things like
this
that.
This is true, too. The eyes exploding out is usually the sign of death by demon. That is fair.
You never know. And so let's move to the second floor now.
Okay.
So according to a woman named Tiffany, that is her name, Teffany.
You go, Tiffany.
Yeah. I mean, so I know about Tiffany solely because of this book, but she is with a paranormal group based out of Ohio. And on the second floor, she had experiences of a shadow figure coming towards her. This is a common occurrence in multiple areas of Waverly Hills. So don't just brush that off. It's just like, it's just a running shadow ghost. We'll talk more about that.
But yeah, shadow figures would almost be a guarantee.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Like
this is a hotbed of activity, and I want to say that of the ghosts of Waverly Hills, shadow man, shadow figures, mm-hmm. very high on the list of encounters. Mm-hmm.
She also said that you can often hear phantom organ music playing. She says there is a piano slash organ there. Oh. It doesn't work, but you can still hear it now and then. Oh, so,
that's interesting.
So my only logic for this could be that that's a residual haunting.
Sure.
It's very possible that there's a period of time where they'd have somebody come in to play the organ right. for the patients to boost morale, you know?
That makes sense.
But apparently that's still a residual haunting.
Fab said, I vote Debria on the second floor.
Trust me, you're going to want her on the fourth or fifth floor.
Oh, okay, okay.
Keep listening.
We'll get her on every floor.
Yes.
She's cutting this. She's cutting this right now, like, 4 a.m. at her house.
She's like, oh my God, why? Yeah. But yeah, there's also on the second floor an entity referred to as the Creeper.
Ooh, the Creeper.
Mm-hmm. The Creeper.
It is a non-human entity, and it looks like it has arms and a torso, but has no legs, and it's known to creep around.
Yo, I'm going to be real. She's not going to want to go after cutting this episode, dude. She's gonna text me.
But also, the Creeper is the main villain of the Minecraft video game series. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a pillar of a block that just...
Wrong Creeper.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get a text.
This Creeper, again, the varietal of entities that you're going to run into at the Waverly Hills, the Creeper being basically the torso, that bizarre notion of something that's either not completely formed or torn in half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, so the second and third floor, I will say, there isn't as much activity, supposedly, on
those
floors.
That's where we're set up camp.
Yes. Because that's about all that goes on the second floor. The third floor are pretty minor occurrences. It's children, particularly on the third floor, which could mean that that's the entrance to the children's wing.
Sure.
Because I know they did put on a children's wing at one point after, you know, the original kind of turning it into a hospital state.
Oh, there's going to be children with tuberculosis.
Exactly.
That's bound to happen. And isn't there Timmy?
Yep.
Is that his name?
Oh, yes. Timmy has some interesting side history. We'll talk about that. That's about to come up. So, Timmy is one of the entities people encounter on the third floor. He is a little boy who plays with various balls that are left around on the property. Particularly, his favorite is a leather ball. So okay. I'm sure we're going to try to play with him a little bit with the cat balls, although it might become concerning if we do that, because sometimes things show up in Timmy's place.
Ooh.
Sure.
But
okay. Something to keep in mind whenever you go ghost hunting, especially in a place that has high psychic energy or psychic remnants where other entities can utilize that energy, spirits desperately want connection with humans, desperately want to be connected even to the point of attachment, and they will disguise themselves as whatever you're looking for. And we've talked about this before. Spirits recognize what you're looking for, especially if it's a place where a lot of people have gone in times before. Like, oh, they're looking for the kid. I can look like a kid. Let me just get rid of these extra four eyes and pull my arms in. There I go. So, note that just because you're having experiences that measure like, oh, I'm speaking to the child, or oh, this child is here. You could be speaking to a mimic or a creature that is imitating what you want to talk to.
And Timmy gets his whole section, so we'll do a whole breakdown on Timmy.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's not that many like famous Waverly ghosts. I think like Timmy, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
those are the two. And the old lady.
Yeah, and the old lady. Well, yeah, and then you're like shadow people and
and
gooey thing in the corner and something that crawls around. Yeah.
There's
everything that comes for Dabria.
Yes.
Dabria.
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 But there supposedly is a little girl as well who is seen running up and down the third floor solarium, particularly.
Okay. Ooh, a solarium.
Mm-hmm. There's a solarium.
There is.
Ooh, that's like where the Caribbean.
That was where they would open your lungs to let the sun in. That's literally what they did.
Oh, but
I still can't get over the concept of peeling a person open so their lungs can get some sunshine.
They just want to get you a deep tan.
No, thank you.
All right, now we're getting into the good stuff, the fourth floor.
Dun, dun, dun.
This one's thick, y'all, so buckle in. Okay, so the fourth floor is regarded as one of the most creepy, scary, and active areas in the hospital. There is even a portion that is blocked off to human occupants due to the unsafe nature of the area.
Structural unsafe or spiritually unsafe?
Not clarified.
Oh, good.
So, we'll find out.
The low grumbling growl from the other side.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah. But that same investigator, Tiffany, claimed that on the fourth floor, she and a group about four or five others saw six shadow figures looking down at them, like down the hall, staring at them.
Mm.
They had placed a K2 meter down there, and it was in complete blackness, and then they watched her K2 meter get dragged into a room that looked like it was being lit up by white TV static.
Ooh.
Nope, that's no good.
Yeah.
that's no good.
So that's just the start of it. Now, a former volunteer of Waverly Hills stated in a Reddit thread that some of their experiences that they had during their time at Waverly Hills. And this particular Reddit user will come up multiple times because they had some crazy things happen to them. But one of them included they had once brought their cousin, their significant other, and their cousin's wife on an investigation. And when they had returned, when the person had returned, they found their relatives shaking. Their relatives have claimed that they saw an extremely large shadowy mass stalking towards them in the hallway, along with a smaller shadow figure crawling rapidly towards them.
This reminds me of 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
Like this whole setup is so 13 Ghosts.
Or there are a couple of movies that took their inspiration from Waverly Hills.
Yes.
And one of the most famous being Grave Encounters.
Oh.
If you watch Grave Encounters,
yes.
They have.
It feels a lot.
It's so much like it.
They kind of play off of that notion. And there is one called Death Tunnel, I think. I've never seen it.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah. And I think that is based on.
Okay.
On the body shoot.
Yeah. When the night we booked Waverly Hills, we actually brought Debria over to show her
Grave Encounters.
Oh. And she's never seen it. And I was like, oh, let's watch Grave Encounters. I haven't seen this in forever. And we watched it and she was like, this is terrifying. And I was like, you're going to live it.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Waverly Hills is like about 10 times larger than the hospital depicted in Grave Encounters.
It's true. Yes. So the massive black shadow entity is often referred to as Big Black.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of people have encountered
this. Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard of the Big Shadow. Yeah.
One woman said that she was there on an investigation one time. This is just a tiny story that I read, where her and her daughter were on the fourth floor and they got very disoriented and they couldn't see anything. Like, it was absolutely pitch black, like if they had their eyes closed, like blackness.
Wow.
And then suddenly their tour guide showed up and it got light again. And they believed that they were standing
inside Big Black.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this person that I mentioned from Reddit that had the crazy stories, they had another experience where a member of the team got possessed inside Waverly Hills. Now, this has not been confirmed by Waverly Hills. We're just stating that real quick. This is just a person's experience that they posted on Reddit. I think it's horrifying, so take it as you will. This person said, I do not really believe in possession. I'm a skeptical believer, and I do not believe finding such experiences, et cetera, blindly. I did not know the person that this happened or that this happened to, which adds to my skepticism, because we had an investigation that we shared with another paranormal group. Private investigations are expensive, so smaller groups tend to share to make the trip attainable. I was with a group of five, and I regularly investigated with, and the other group of seven we'd never met before. My group was on the fourth floor where the surgery and recovery suite is, and we were doing a EVP session and taking some photos. The other group on the was on the first floor. All of a sudden, there is a guy screaming downstairs. We all jumped, laughed, marked our audio, and waited. He continued screaming and yelling.
Whoa.
We were curious about what had happened since they couldn't calm this guy down, so we went downstairs to check on them. They were in the area where the hospital gift shop was, not the current one, which was the laundry. One of their members was on the floor screaming and yelling and rolling around. Mm. They told us that they were doing EVP and filming in the X-ray room when he got hit in the chest. He seemed okay after the shock, so they kept on. He acted stranger and stranger as they progressed. They were headed down the hall when he just took off running and he ran into the gift shop. He started screaming and yelling, get her away from him, and sobbing uncontrollably. He then went silent and started talking like he was a woman, asking why she was still there, when she could go home, that she was scared and just wanted to see her husband and children. He then went silent. They decided to try to take him out, and he went hysterical. After fighting with him for a few minutes, he suddenly stopped suddenly and vomited everywhere. He looked up and asked where he was in a normal, calm voice, because the last thing he remembered was the X-ray room. We all went out to where the gift shop and bathrooms are now and went over the whole thing. He claimed to remember getting hit and seeing a woman with brown hair, and that was it until he came to after he vomited.
Dang.
He claimed to be possessed, and after about 30 minutes, they continued their investigation like nothing happened.
Whee.
This is not going to be the last time a possession comes up, though.
Oh, boy. All right.
So, with that in mind, let's talk about Timmy.
Timmy.
All
right. Tiptoe through the tulips.
Anyway, so Timmy was said to be a young boy who is spotted playing with a leather ball. He was about 7 years old when he died, so people say, but also some people claim that there are no documents to prove that there was ever a child that was referred to as Timmy, Tim, or Timothy inside Waverly Hills. But anywho...
Whenever you run into an instance like this, there's an interesting question, and that is, think about how many people in your life you've encountered who are called by a name that is not their name.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, my ex was Elizabeth, but everybody called her Kelly. My grandmother was Pearl, but no one called her Pearl. Everyone called her Moppy.
Moppy.
That's a cute name, though.
And, it is kind of.
And, I like and Pearl her too. Sister was called Lollipop, though her real name was Rose. So, I mean, when you come across that, it's like it's very likely, you know, Timmy could be a name given to people like the eldest son gets the uncle's, nickname or, you know. So that is not a good enough argument when you're like, I can't find any records of a Timmy here. It's like, yeah, but people are weird. Mm-hmm. People call That's people, fair. You know, by names that are not their own. My own kid goes by Sushi. That is not my kid's name. I did not name my kid Sushi, Susie. So, no.
Take that as you will.
People go by names that are not necessarily... official.
So, real fast, Sheila actually asked, what are we going to employ to protect ourselves?
What an excellent question.
Chris's favorite question.
I carry a wide variety of defensive mechanisms, not the least of which is my crystal dagger. I do believe that you can, if you find comfort in certain items, your own emotional... security becomes protective. So there are a number of crystals. I usually try to carry at least three different types of talisman-like objects just to protect myself. I also carry weapons. We couldn't do it in Rhode Island because we flew to Rhode Island, but I will probably be bringing a sword.
Sword.
So I have a Chinese demon slayer, which is a sword that was specifically designed to ward off demons.
Perfect.
Nice.
It might come in handy.
It might.
But
what about you?
I typically ward myself with a variety of different amulets of sort. I usually make myself little spells that I can carry in my pockets. I utilize a lot of obsidian. Mm. I love obsidian. It's a deeply protective crystal in particular. I carry a lot of that on me. And I do a lot of preemptive, like, warding, if you will. I'm just a very guarded individual in general of my energy, so I usually go into it with knowing I'm pretty solid in my defenses, if you will. But
I'm bringing Jesus and ugly twerking.
Yeah, that'll keep everything away.
I feel like those are conflicting things. One's going to pull them in and one's going to drive them away.
Yeah.
I'm not saying which is which.
I think that ugly twerking is probably going to drive them away. They're not going to want that.
You don't know. It's a lonely twerking. Place, Waverly Hills.
Yeah, ugly twerking is twerking with your back instead of your butt.
Anyway.
Anyways. So he was about 7 years old when he died in the hospital, and visitors often bring him toys to play with, and many investigators say they see the balls moving on their own. Now,
I think you can actually find lots of video footage of that.
Yes.
It feels like if you went on YouTube, a lot of the Waverly Hills like evidence collected moving, balls. I think I've seen a toy car move. They just put toys out for her.
Exactly. Now, this next story is referred to as a story encountering a version of Timmy, if you will. Mm. That comes from that Reddit thread user who talked about his family encountering Big Black. But this was a different investigation that they were all doing together. Now, they detailed an experience that involved demonic possession within the sanatorium. And I'm going to read to you what they said, but obviously, like I said before, this is just their personal experience. This is not public or publicly confirmed by Waverly Hills. This has not been confirmed by Waverly Hills, but we're going to talk about it. So
I think that's the part that the demon didn't like.
Yeah.
Not confirmed. Yeah.
So while I'm reading this, this is from the perspective of the person writing it, not me. So we were working the haunted house because, if you didn't know, Waverly Hills used to host a haunted house, a walkthrough haunted house inside the sanatorium for years. So they would hire a lot of people who were locals to the area to work the haunted house. This happened to be one of those people. So we were working the haunted house one night and the crowd was surprisingly slow. One of the actors for the haunt was a major skeptic and brought in a ball to attempt to play with little Timmy. For those that don't know, there are balls all over the building, and they are known to move on their own. This is said to be a little boy named Timmy playing with them.
Okay.
Well, the actor had set the ball down and repeatedly said, "Come on, Tim, play with the ball, Tim." I'm sure they said it in a different voice, but that's how I read it.
Play with the ball, Timmy.
And calling him Tim, though.
Tim is, yeah.
That's a different name.
Yeah.
A different intonation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so absolutely. You can really aggravate spirits by misnaming them. Just ask Elizabeth over at Savannah Theater.
That's true. He did this multiple times throughout the night. When another break came in within the customers, we went to summon Timmy again. This time he just completely collapsed. One of the guys in the room was an EMT and rushed to him. We splashed some water on him and he immediately looked up at us, then proceeded to do this backwards crab walk thing off the back of the stage he was on.
Yeah.
We ran back to him to splash some more water on him.
Holy water?
Just water, yeah, right? In general, right?
Note to self, bring holy water.
Yes, because he seemed to be unconscious again. He looked at us and asked how the hell he got back there on the ground.
And why does his butt hurt?
Right. We told him, and he didn't remember any of it. The creepiest part about it was that when he collapsed the first time, when he looked at us, his eyes were solid black. No white in his eyes.
What?
And they said, now the theory that the parapsychologist here has is that because I guess there's a resident parapsychologist that worked, at least at this time, that because he comes up multiple times in multiple people's encounters.
Well, I would imagine there was that period of time when they were hosting the investigation/tour that having a parapsychologist to answer questions is probably...
It would make sense. Yeah. So the theory that the parapsychologist had is that there is an evil demonic being in the building, and due to the popularity of playing with Timmy, the demonic being has started responding to the same name.
Sure, wow. Of course. And would even be more responsive to slight deviations of the name.
Right.
Because it is a slight deviation of Timmy.
So the demonic being responded to the actor's calls for Timmy and attempted to possess him, which the person believes is what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So this same Reddit user recounted another experience with this demonic version of Timmy during an investigation that involved the parapsychologist. Again, this is not confirmed by Waverly Hills. The last overnight investigation I had there was by far the most incredible experience I've ever had. The night started out slow, very little activity. We went and talked to the parapsychologist, who wound up bringing some of his high-tech equipment into the building with us. We started in the lobby, which is also used for the haunted house. After what seemed like forever, we started to get responses. It started to get to the point where he could request actions such as touch the little light on the electro field meter, and it would go off. Finally, the FM scanner started spitting out words. He asked who we are talking to, and it responded with, "Tim."
Oh.
And this is the same person, mind you, that experienced. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then proceeded to tell us that it was pissed because of all the people.
Mm.
And that it had recognized two of them.
Ooh.
There were two of us from the haunted house on that tour, myself and the actor, the one that got possessed. That
possessed actor.
From the haunt were the ones that it recognized. Everything went silent and still, and after several minutes, we moved to the roof. This is where it got really messed up. On the roof, Tim made his presence known through the FM scanner. The word kill kept repeating, as well as f***ing pissed. And while the parapsychologist was speaking, shut the f*** up came through. Yeah, sorry about that, Debria.
I'm writing it down now. I'm a little whiteboard.
And keep in mind that when you're doing an FM scanner, the likelihood of hearing that kind of language coming through your FM scanner is pretty low, because the FCC has regulations about the kind of language you can use in public broadcasting. So, and we've had this experience before, where listening through it, suddenly swear words are coming through, and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit with the notion that you're pulling, you know, snippets and bits of, you know, broadcast words, because a lot of times that's what you are getting. You're getting, like, you know, the end of a DJ saying something or something like that. But when you start getting, like, full swear sentences, you're like, okay, now something is truly utilizing all of that noise, all that static to come up with a voice.
Exactly. And the person said, all I know is that the feeling of complete and utter hatred for our parapsychologist guide came over me.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I had the sudden urge to push him off the building.
Oof. Oof.
My cousin, who was sitting next to me, started shaking me. He said I started rocking back and forth and shaking. Once he had shaken me, all was well. I feel that since I was recognized, I was chosen as a host.
Goodness.
Something, and we've talked about this too, is that a human spirit, especially one that is bound to a place for a long period of time, can lose sight of their humanity. And in that losing sight of their humanity can, in fact, become demonic in action and deed. Not all demons are non-human entities. Some of them are human entities that have lost their humanity. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, and it's not to say that this is Timmy being a child that has lost its humanity, although children generally don't have a whole lot of humanity to begin with, in the sense that they have a still self-centered concept of themselves. And that's why they can maintain themselves so long, is because their world really didn't expand much further than their self, which allows them to remain intact as children. But if there was another entity in the building, another Timothy, an adult by the name of Timothy, an adult named Tim, being called and being, you know, harassed and harangued all this time and being treated like a child, you could see it slowly getting rid of any human nature and just dwelling in anger, especially against, like, you take the parapsychologist, who is now an authority and who is now sort of compounding the myth of the child to me, and you're an adult that's being treated this way. I could see there becoming a resentment, a hatred, and an ability to take advantage of the living.
Exactly. Now, moving on to the fifth floor, just for Chris's building up his excitement, people claim to see their doppelgangers on this floor.
Yay!
A lot.
I'm out.
It happens often that people will experience, which leads
that's
me to think
super problematic.
Yeah,
like super problematic.
It very well could be a mimic that is kind of masquerading as your doppelganger, but nonetheless, super creepy.
Even still, one of those disturbing things again is the notion of walking into a building for the first time and having something being able to replicate you immediately. That is a very powerful entity. You know, oftentimes mimics, doppelgangers, they follow you for a while. They have to observe you for a while. They have to get to know you in order to affect that imitation.
Yeah.
When you start dealing with something that is an immediate, I see you, I am you, that's a scary entity. Because that's the Appalachian Trail entity. That's something that ancient, dark, and capable of incredible feats. Because you shouldn't like if you take a doppelganger at face value, something that just shows up and appears to be like you or things like that, the notion that it cultivated its image of you is a scary thing.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
But something that's just sitting in the shadows, sees you passing by and says, that's me. Boom. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Tim. Who knows?
Could be Tim.
Wait, real fast. Sheila said, y'all need code words so you know who's who.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Smart.
And, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And E.O. Serenity said, this place is just jam-packed with fun stuff.
Yes, it is.
It is. It really is. Oh, and
this
Tina.
This might have to become an annual event.
Right.
Tina just texted me and said that 3:30 she can do the
Friday.
The Paris, for Friday.
Yeah, okay.
So, nice. Y'all, Friday, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's when it's happening.
Dope.
Live stream with the owner of Waverly.
Do you want to meet
at
3 for the fix?
Yeah, we can meet at 3 for the fix. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That works perfect. So for the fifth floor, that is also, of course, where room 502 is standing. Now, in 1928, Mary Hillenburg was the head nurse. She allegedly hanged herself just outside of room 502 after finding out she was pregnant out of wedlock. There are some speculations that she had also contracted tuberculosis, but her depression over the situation had apparently let her take her own life. And she had hanged herself from the light fixture at only 29 years old. Her death and has no information, including how long she might have been hanging in that room before her body was found. Now, jump forward to 1932. Another nurse who worked in that same room leapt several stories from the balcony to her death.
And what was room 502?
It was the head nurse's office.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yes. It is said that she jumped from the roof patio and plunged several stories to her death. And no one seems to know why she would have done this, but some like to speculate that she may have actually been pushed over the edge, but there are no records to indicate this. People have seen her full-bodied apparition, though, on this floor, along with feelings of despair. People have also heard her shout in a growling voice, "Get out!"
Ooh.
Now...
And this is...
Another nurse. This is not Mary.
Yeah, because we have that photo, right?
Well, so that's the photo I'm about to mention.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, actually, JT, if you want to throw that photo up on the screen. On September 10th, 2006, Tom Halstead of Missouri Paranormal Research took the photo that you're about to see of during an investigation of an apparition that looked almost exactly like Mary Lee, who was the young woman who was the head nurse. But
she's really pretty.
She is very pretty. And so they do believe that that is the nurse who hanged herself in room 502. Some do say, though, that she could have been a daughter of a Waverly Hills physician who contracted disease herself from prolonged exposure to patients while visiting her father at work. Personally, with that side-by-side, I'm in the favor of that being...
That looks like Mary.
Yeah, really. It looks just
it's
like her.
It's that hairline.
Yeah.
It's so eerie to have that perfect hairline. Did we ever... Do we have the name of the second nurse?
No.
Yeah, that's one of the weird things, because I feel like I've done this before where I've looked for the second nurse, and I've never been able to find like a name or any information on the nurse that threw herself out the window.
Right.
Because that's so... fantastic thing, and I think that's like 502 is the room that I have most intrigue about because of those stories, and I can remember in the past, and you know, I figured the internet is jammed full of stuff now, but when I did do the research, I couldn't find the name of that second nurse.
Well, maybe that's something we're going to try to find out.
We'll have to try to figure it out.
Yeah,
I'd be interested if her name was Mary.
Right. That would be interesting. Now, a little bit on the body shoot. Apparently, the body shoot isn't as active as everybody would want it to be.
I love the body shoot.
Well, it's mostly because most of the people that were going through there were already dead. So less likely.
It's just their bodies.
Yeah. But there is a common theme that people get intense pressure in their heads when they're in the body shoot, along with feelings of disorientation.
Sure.
Ooh, okay.
Vortex.
Now we talking.
Yeah.
Vortex. You're going into a vortex. And when you're going into a vortex, remember to bring gum so you can pop your ears.
Pop your ears. Now, to finish us off, we have some miscellaneous ghosts that have been encountered in various...
Miscellanea.
Now, the least frequently cited specter is a mysterious man in a white coat who has been seen walking in the kitchen in the smell of cooking food that sometimes wafts through the room. A lot of times it is the smell of baking bread. That's how you know he's nearby.
So we don't need to get snacks.
Yeah, he'll bake us
us something. Okay, yeah.
Don't eat ghost food.
I will eat
ghost food. Do not eat ghost food.
100%
gonna eat. Have you not seen Spirited Away?
If there is food provided by ghosts, I will eat it.
Do not eat ghost food.
Right.
Do it for the live.
Also, man in white coat, can we call him the baker? Can we call him the cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in a hospital, when you hear about a man in a white coat, originally you're like, oh, it was a doctor.
Wait a minute, you're right.
This is obviously a cook.
It's hospital food, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People also encounter seeing a phantom hearse that appears to be dropping off coffins at the back of the building.
Lord.
People have encountered the sounds of slamming doors, lights in windows, as if the power was still running throughout the building, and strange sounds of footsteps in empty rooms.
Clip, clop, clip, clop.
There's also supposedly two mass graves on the property, but Tina will not tell anybody where they are.
Oh, smart.
So.
Smart.
And then the last but not least, just because I think it's really creepy, people hear the sound of children sometimes on the roof singing "Ring Around the Rosie."
Boy, this place is crazy. We are going to a haunted place.
It is just a mod podge of every creepy thing that you could think of to make a horror movie.
Well, yeah, and it's enough to say that if you have an abandoned building full of dark secrets and death, the stories are going to circulate. They're going to coalesce, and people are going to tell them. So I'm excited to
see what we find, you know,
and poke in the shadows.
And hopefully none of us get possessed, but nonetheless.
Or we catch it on camera.
At least we can monetize on it.
There you go.
Yup.
But all righty, y'all. Well, that is our breakdown on Waverly Hills. Hopefully you enjoyed, and like I said, if you live in the area or you've visited Waverly Hills and you had an experience or you heard a different ghost that you know people encounter inside the building that we did not mention, let us know down below, because we'd love to gather all of the ghostly information that we can, because...
And do not forget that Waverly Hills is right there in the Kentucky Hills. We've got the Native American lore. We've got.
I don't need to see another skinwalker for the rest of my life.
There's a good chance that the doppelganger is a skinwalker.
Oh, I don't want him. That was probably one of at the Conjuring House. If you didn't hear, I saw a skinwalker, and I never want to see one again. I don't want it. I'm not putting that energy out there. We're not asking for that. So, no skinwalkers.
Well.
But anyways, hopefully y'all enjoy, and we will be seeing you at Waverly Hills in just a few days.
And a skinwalker.
No. Anyways, become a para junkie so that you can live stream with us all night long as God willing and the creek don't rise. But, you know, with that, though, y'all, my name is Madison Timmons.
And I'm Chris Susie.
And stay spooky, y'all.